Well, this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start Matthew 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, we have another large block of teachings of Jesus. We've looked at a couple so far. The first big block of teaching we looked at was the Sermon on the Mount. That's chapters 5 through 7. And then we also looked at another block, which is smaller, which was chapter 10. And so today, we're going to start looking at the next block of teachings of Jesus, and that's going to be in Matthew 13. This is where we really are going to get into some of the parables of Jesus. Jesus is known for his parables. They are kind of scattered throughout the gospel, but there is a large concentration of parables that we're going to be looking at in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start, we're not going to finish, but we're going to look this morning at the parable of the sower, or known as the parable of four soils. And Jesus, he's going to give an explanation of it, and so we're going to look at that next week. But this week, we're going to be looking at this, really focusing not just on this parable, but looking at why is Jesus speaking in parables? When some people don't get it. And so there's reasons why. And the reasons that Jesus is going to elaborate upon is there's this other theme that runs through Matthew. And we looked at, and we were introduced to it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. If you look there, Jesus is thanking the Father that he has hidden some stuff to the wise and prudent that they could not see. But to the babes, guess what? They were able to see. And so it's this ability to see what God is doing. Some have that ability, others don't. For those who can't, it's not because God has arbitrarily said, not for you, right? That's not why. The reason why is their attitude. Have you noticed whenever you're arrogant? Because no, none of us here can relate to that, right? None of us can, right? You know, it's amazing whenever we get on our high horse, we get real kind of cocky and arrogant. There's something that happens. We stop what? Listening, right? We have come to our conclusions of, we got our facts, we come to our conclusion, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says, these are the facts, these are the reasons. Take it or leave it. Some people call that tough love. I'm real hesitant when people do that because love is patient, love is kind. And so I think we need to be careful, right, on what tough love is. And it's something that it's very easy to say. It's another thing to actually be able to do it and to do it well, right? And I think that's something that we all face, right? Learning like the principles of the scriptures, some of it's not super complicated, right? Husbands, love your wives. Is that complicated? It's pretty straightforward, right? This doing it, now that's the other thing. Or how about wives, respect or submit to your husbands? Pretty simple, right? How easy is that to do? Well, see, that's the challenge we face. The principles of Scripture aren't all this hard to comprehend. There are some, but there are others that are very simple. But to have the will to do it, that's hard. And this is what really the Jews really struggled with during the days of Jesus. They had their conclusions already drawn up. And so when Jesus came along, guess what? They didn't need to hear him because they already knew. Did Jesus ever said, blessed are those who are proud and confident in what they know? For they shall, you know, tear apart everybody else who's wrong. No, that's not what he says, right? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and then there's other things. See, there, it's important not just to have good theology, it's equally as important to have Christian character, right? And when is our character clearly seen? When life is going smooth and everything is going the way we want it, is that when our Christian character is seen the best? No. See, we realize our Christian character when, like anything else, is put to the test. Then we can really see, okay, how much do I really understand here? We can look back and look at a stressful time and say, okay, how did I respond to that? How did I handle that? Do I need to ask God sorry for how I handle myself in those stressful times? See, that is, I'm going to say, a true mirror of who we are. Because all the stuff is removed. And pressure is good like that. You guys ever heard of a stress test? Has anybody ever had a stress test, a medical one? I haven't had them yet, but guess what? Give it time, right? What's the whole point of a stress test, right? Put your body under stress to see how your body is going to respond, and it's going to help the doctors kind of see, okay, what's going on with the body? What needs to be identified? What needs to be worked on? See, it reveals things. And so the challenge we face is not just knowledge, but learning how to use that knowledge and to use it correctly. See, that's that 1-2 punch that God wants us, right, to learn. Because it's then that we really begin to be shapen and formed as a disciple of Christ, where he molds us. And then at that point, we then become more useful to the king. How useful is an employee that won't listen to the boss? How useful is a Christian that won't listen to God? Does God love them? Of course he loves them. There is no question about it. It's not about love, right? It's about obedience. And so there's this theme throughout Matthew where some hear, some understand, some don't, right? This is very common when it comes to parables of Jesus, right? He who has what? What are they supposed to do with them? Let them hear, right? Not to talk, right? Wouldn't that be kind of weird if our mouths, if our ears talked? That would look weird, wouldn't it? So in Matthew 11, Jesus really began to explain this. And we're going to see this again. And this time, we're going to see how Jesus is shifting more to his disciples to give them instruction. We ended last week with Matthew 12. And the section that we ended on was, there is Mary and some of his brothers and sisters were all outside knocking, you know, and somebody hears it and opens the door. Oh, it's Mary and, hey, it's Jesus' family. And so he interrupts Jesus. Hey, Jesus, your family's out here. Remember what Jesus said? Who is my family? Did Jesus just get amnesia? Is he getting dementia? And he's like, oh, no, his memory's losing. Obviously not, right? He is God. He was making a point. Did Mary conceive Jesus? Oh, yeah. She felt it, right? It's definitely of the Holy Spirit, too. But we need to understand, Jesus is making a distinction here. And he says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then it says, then he turns to his disciples. And what does he say? Behold, my mother, my brother, my sister. Then he ends with this. He who does the will of my Father is what? My brother, my sister, my mother. The emphasis is not so much on blood relationship, right? It's more upon obedience. Now let me say this. Was Mary saved? Well, you read the story of Jesus' conception. If she's a lost woman, I think your theology is a little messed up, right? The way that she responded to all the news that she had. So this is not a saved and lost comparison. The distinction is the call of God and following the call of God. There's a distinction there. Are all those who are saved follow the call of God? Let me say this. I think a majority of us in here this morning are saved. Do you always follow the call of God? See, there's a distinction here. And I think that distinction is what the kingdom of heaven is about. Now, clearly, if someone is lost, someone who is not saved, can they go and enter the kingdom of heaven? No. They can't be obedient, right? A lost person, I think we might have covered this already. Can a lost person please God? They can't, right? They're born sinners. So they're born as rebels against God. Now, if they help an old lady cross the street and an old man cross the street, is that a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing. But in the eyes of God, what's most important? You get saved, right? Because you're dead and your trespasses. And so that means nothing. It's irrelevant. The first and foremost thing a person needs to do, what is? Become saved, right? Once they're convicted by the Spirit of God that they are lost, that they're sinners going to hell, that they need a Savior, at that point, the appropriate response is, Jesus, save me, right? That's the appropriate response. Now, after that, guess what we need to do? Serve Him, right? And so those who accept Christ, guess what? Now they can be employed by Jesus Christ. Those who are willing to follow Him and do His will. And for those that are willing to follow someone, guess what they must do? You got to humble yourself, right? If you got two strong-willed personality people trying to figure out what they want for dinner, one hates Chinese food, the other one loves Chinese food. What's going to happen? Do you see who's going to make the decision, right? Who's going to win? Somebody's going to have to humble themselves. And for the one that gets their way, guess what they see that as? Victory, right? They submitted. I got what I want. But is that a principle of the kingdom of heaven? I think Jesus illustrated that at the end of Matthew chapter 12. He who does the will of my Father. It's about doing the will of God. And in order to follow the Lord, guess what it requires of us? To humble ourselves, right? To say, okay, you the boss. You tell me. I'll do. I'll go. I'll say. Or I'll stay. I'll stand. I'll be quiet. Isn't sometimes the Lord lead us to speak up? Other times He leads us to shut up. There's sometimes I felt, okay, Tim, time to shut up preaching. Time to end it. I felt that. There's times that the Lord wants us to go. Faith is not just an action verb of go, 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 right? If you look at the transition from the Gospels to Acts, there's a period of time that the disciples needed to wait. But as we end Matthew, we'll see Matthew ends with go. So what one is it? Is it go or is it wait? Well, we see that there's a period of time, right? They're supposed to wait for the power on high. And that came about 50 days after His resurrection. And the Spirit came and empowered His church to go and carry out the commission, right? At that point, guess what? Green light. Let's move, right? So there's the principles of God. They're not always one, which is go, 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 go. Sometimes it's be still. Sometimes it's allow your works to speak for themselves instead of our mouths. The principles are dynamic. So as we look at Matthew chapter 13, it's important to remember that as we look at these parables, they're about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven and salvation are not the same thing. They are separate. Are they related? Of course they are. Is baptism salvation, are they related? Sure they are. Are they the same thing? No, right? Baptism does not save us, right? Jesus Christ saves us, right? Through faith. That's what saves us. Baptism is what? It's a picture, right? Of saying, okay, Lord, I'm now dying to myself and I want to live to you. Exactly what Jesus said at the end of Matthew chapter 12. He who does the will of my Father. It's about obedience. It's about identifying you are no longer your own, right? You are God's. And God has an amazing plan for your life, and you want to follow it and experience the plans of God. The kingdom of heaven is all about being used by God in his service. And so I'm excited for Matthew chapter 13. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see as we walk through this. But I do want to start off with Matthew chapter 11. And I want to read this verse I've been referring to. And then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin in chapter 13. So Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. This is the theme that's going to really help us understand this section we're going to look at this morning. Why the parables? How come not everybody got it? Because not everybody was willing to hear. I believe there's lots of saved people who probably don't hear. And there's others that do. Question is, who are we? Are we busy about building our kingdom, our ways, our desires, or are we really trying to be useful to the King and fulfill his will and his desire? Sounds a lot like Matthew 6, right? Seek ye first what? And his righteousness. And what's going to happen? Yeah. All these things shall be added unto you. You seek the Lord first. You know what he's going to do? He's going to make sure everything that you need will be there. Why? Because he wants to use you in his kingdom for his purposes. Is God short on finances? Is God short on influence? Oh, no. So if God's got a plan for you, guess what? Seek that out. Everything else is going to come together. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day and this morning, and just for everyone able to come out and those who are able to join us online. I just ask, Father, that as we spend time in your word, that you would minister to our hearts, Father, that we would not be the wise and prudent individuals, Lord, those who are arrogant and cocky and have all the answers, Father, that ultimately result in not being able to hear. Instead, Father, help us to be those that are willing to hear you, and that those that would be willing to humble and submit ourselves to you, Father, to your rule and your reign in our life, and that we would seek you first. Help us, Father, to understand the blessings that we all have available to us today if we'd only hear and listen. We thank you and bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1. We're going to cover the first 17 verses. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So this is a continuation of Matthew chapter 12. Okay. And so here Jesus is in a very similar position, right? He's going to be preaching before multitudes. It's interesting. There are some things that are done publicly, openly, that Jesus does. And there's other things. Guess what? They're not done publicly. They're not done openly. Now, that may be concerning, right? Well, the scriptures give us what he does in private, right? And does it conflict with anything that he does publicly? No, it doesn't. There's perfect continuity with what he does publicly and privately. The question is, why does he do certain things privately? I think it pertains to the kingdom of heaven and about working with his people to accomplish his will. And so here he's on a ship. It's crazy, right, to be on a boat. Have you guys ever tried standing up on a boat and then to speak on a boat for a long time? I've never done that. That would be a little interesting, don't you think? Hopefully it's calm at that point. But anyways, in verse 3 says, and he spake many things unto them in parables. So Matthew tells us that he said he spoke many things to this crowd, and he spoke to them using parables. So what in the world is a parable? Parables is not just a story, right? It's a story that is to convey a central point. Okay? We all have stories we tell our kids, right? And we always try to conclude it with a point, right? It's the point we want them to get, and so we tell them the story so that that way they can hopefully have a word picture in their head so that way they get the point. And so I believe parables, while there is lots of different ways people interpret parables, I believe I go try the simplest way to interpret the parables, and I try to find that moral of the story. What is the central point? And so Jesus spoke in parables, so that way people would hopefully get the point. Have you ever experienced this? You had heard the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah, I got it. Then all of a sudden you realize, I thought I had it, but now I don't. Or, whoa, now I get it. Have you guys ever had those moments? Those are good moments, right? Do you know why? It's a little humbling, right? Because like, oh, yeah, I was wrong back then, but now I see, right? It's an amazing thing that happens. I wonder how many people later on, when everything finally connected for them, like, oh, that's what he meant. I think those are good things. Some things just take time. We don't like that, huh? Things take time. If we're so focused on time, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get all messed up. We need to understand things take time. For some, it takes things a little bit longer. Others, maybe they pick some things up pretty quick. But I believe the Lord reveals things to us when we humble ourselves and have ears to hear. So Jesus spoke many parables to them. And so beginning in verse, the last half of 3, it says, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, Jesus gives the parable, and then he kind of does a right turn and just talks about parables and stuff like that. And we won't really get back to this parable until next week, but we will read through it. So, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So what's the parable about? A sower, right? A sower is not a seamstress, right? A sower, they're not trying to quilt, you know, do some quilts or fix somebody's pants, right? Sower are those that are planting, right? They were Israel back then, a lot of people back then were very tied to the land. There were a lot of, you know, herders, people that grew stuff, you know, everything was tied to the ground. So they were, people would sow the fields. They didn't have big tractors that would automatically do it, right? They would have to go out and broadcast the seed. So this parable is about an individual that is seeding, right? Throwing seed out to in a field. Verse 4. And when he sowed, guess where the seed went? Everywhere, right? And so we're going to look at some of the different places the sower was casting seed. It's interesting. The sower wasn't laser focused. He was very generous and just casting the seed out everywhere. Verse 4. So when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So what would be the wayside? outside the field, right? Probably where you would walk, right? If, for those who have raised gardens, do you walk right through the middle of it? No. I guarantee you, right around the right outside of the raised garden bed, get that ground's probably pretty hard, wouldn't you say, because of you walking around. So that's the wayside. So the birds came in and devoured them up. Verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. If you go to any big field, typically around the edges, what are you going to find?
Rocks.
A lot of the junk stuff that was in the field, right? They don't want that in the middle of the field. Let's get that up to the sides, right? So that way it's not going to affect the harvest or in the growth. And so same thing here. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, that they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. There is competition. Verse 8, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. I have only heard one kind of interpretation to this. Do you believe that? No. There are all kinds. When you get into the parables of Christ, you're going to find all kinds of stuff, okay? And so we're not going to get into it, but I think that sometimes people go awry is because they do not see what the main point of the parable is. We can get so caught up in all the details. The details overshadow the main point. And I think what's important for us today is, what's the main point, right? What is it that Jesus is trying to say? What is that one little phrase that Dad and Mom would always say, many hands make light work, you know? What is the point, okay? So that's what I want us to always look at, the parables, and try to distill. What is the main point? What is the moral of the story? If we can get that and see that in the parable, we are on great standings, okay? So keep the main thing what? The main thing. So Jesus ends it with, who hath the ears to hear, let him hear. This is a very common way for him to end his parables. So real quick, we'll sum this up very simply. There is a sower. He had a field. He had some seed. He wanted to plant that seed. So guess what he did? He scattered that seed everywhere, right? It just went everywhere. And the seed responded differently. What was the ultimate goal? Why was a farmer seed anything? Right? To grow more, right? For it to be productive. And not all of it was productive. So this is a little tidbit. Maybe this is some of the application. I think that the point of this is the sower just kept sowing regardless of the outcome. I think that's the main point of the story. But I think it's interesting. Doesn't the Lord want us to be useful for him? Are we always useful for him? Not always. The Lord wants us to be productive for him. So I think that's one application of this. But anyways, so the main point of this is the sower was sowing seed all over the place and the seed responded differently. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? Why are you talking like this? Well, he answered and said unto them. Now it's important to see. The disciples came and said unto him. So this is, we see a shift, right? This was, he's talking to the whole multitude, but then guess what? We see a shift here. His disciples, they come to Jesus, say, hey, Jesus, why are you talking to them in parables? So we see a shift in focus, right? Is he still continuing to talk to the crowds? No. He's turning and talking to his disciples. And he answered and said unto them, then being the disciples that came to him and asked him the question, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So Jesus answers not straightforwardly, right? Just give us a yes or no answer, right? Give it, keep it simple. Don't break out into another life lesson. You know, keep it simple, please. Well, sorry, Jesus got a lot to teach, right? So he doesn't, and he has every right to. He's God. And so in his explanation to his disciples, why he speaks this, in parables, he starts out with this. It's been given unto you, to his disciples, to understand what? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What is that? Does that seem a little mysterious? You know, the New Testament does refer to a couple of different mysteries. And I think one way to understand this is if you go into 1 Corinthians. Victor and I talked about this last week. When we talk, I think it's chapter 2, about the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. As a saved child of God, don't we have the Spirit living in us? Don't we also have a sinful part of us? Yes. So is it possible that we could be a natural man, even though we are have the Spirit of God living in us? Yes, we can, because it's what we're listening to. See, we can care more about the things of this world than the things of God. And when we care about more things of this world, are we able to understand what God wants us to do? It's stupid, right? Abram, come, leave your family and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Key word, going to. What did Abram do? Okay, Lord. You know what made that so huge? How long do you think their family was in that region building up the family business? A long time, right? We don't know how long, but generations, it could be centuries, who knows how long. But guess what? You're leaving all that behind now. You know what you call that? You call that starting over. Would you just get up and start over? By the way, Abram wasn't a young man at that point, right? No. Is it easy to start over when you're 20? It's a good time to start over, right? That way the parents kick you out and they can kind of go on their life, right? And so you can go out and flap your wings. But when you're older, to start over, is it easy? No. Abram was willing to hear. And he was willing to do things that seemed foolish. Why would you leave that? That's what we would call stupid, right? But was he? Some people may call it foolish. Others may call that a step of faith. Not every step of faith is always wise. Sometimes we're just being foolish, right? And not hearing what God says. Abram was listening. So we follow the Lord. He had ears to hear. He was about serving his king. And as we read here, to some, they can't understand the kingdom of heaven. Where is the kingdom of heaven? Is it in Israel? How about Kabul? Is it here in Susanville? You see, it's in Westwood. Oh, thank you. Thank you. See, the kingdom of heaven today, is this a physical kingdom? It's a spiritual kingdom, right? And so it's a little odd. It's a little different. It looks much different than a lot of other things in our life. But to those who have ears to hear, guess what? Do you think they can be in the kingdom? Yeah. You know what the Jews, all of the Jews during Jesus' day, you know what they're looking for? They were looking for the kingdom of heaven. But you know the kind of kingdom they were looking for? They were looking for a physical king to come, which did. but to kick out the Romans, set everything straight, and restore Israel back to the days of old, to fulfill the promise to King David. Did that happen? Yes and no. Not in the way they expected. Because Jesus isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing. Have you ever thought that? Maybe not quite like that. But I think the problem is, we are so focused on our own kingdom, our own will, our own plans, that we can't see what God has in store for us. And to those, that doesn't make sense. Why would Peter leave his fishing? Why would he leave his business? That's kind of weird, right? Why is Jesus calling Mary not his mother, but some other, someone else? That's weird. They don't get it. Why? Because it hasn't been given unto them. Why hasn't been given unto them to understand the mysteries? Well, go back to Matthew 11, right? God has hid some things from the wise and prudent, but has revealed them to babes. There is this principle. Remember the Roman centurion? Remember what Jesus responded to that guy? I have not seen so great faith in all of Israel. Do you know who was in Jesus' presence? 12 guys that left everything they had to follow him. If you were Peter, you'd be thinking, excuse me? He's left nothing, and look what I've done. Be yet Jesus praised that man for his great faith. Ah, he saw something that not everybody saw. You know what he saw? The king. Pontius Pilate wasn't king. Caesar wasn't king. The scribes and Pharisees, with all their influence, yeah, they may have a lot of sway, but you know what? They're not the king. Who is the king? Jesus, the Roman centurion, a Gentile, saw that and oriented his life around that truth. The disciples, they saw, and they were given a call, right, to follow. And we know that these eventually are going to go and continue on the work that he started. And so to some, it is mysterious because they are carnally minded. They are about themselves. Even children of God who are empowered, who are indwelled with the Spirit of God, those who are indwelled with the Spirit of God can still be carnal minded. They can still dwell on things of this life. Look at your own thought life. You only dwell on the scriptures, right? You only dwell on holy things. Yeah, right. If we were to log everything that goes through our minds, how much shame? How much shame would you have? We need to be careful that we are not so blinded to ourselves. But the good news is, guess what? Jesus does reveal this, right? To them he has given to, but others haven't because of their pride. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. You know, some people would think about this as salvation, that God is going to take away someone's salvation. This is their understanding. This is their knowledge. I remember in school, and I shared it before, both my Hebrew teachers and my Greek teachers, guess what they always said? If you don't keep doing this once you graduate, guess what's going to happen? You're going to forget it. They had us translate Genesis 12. I think part of James. So we did a lot of translation work. Can I do that today? It'd be like me when I took my AP Chem test. As I sat down that test, I read the first question. Yep, our teacher taught us how to do that. Can I remember how to solve the answer? Nope. There's too much to remember. Those that have been given, and they don't use it, guess what's going to happen? God's going to take it away. This is not their salvation. We are kept by the power of God. He's not going to revoke what was given to us by faith based upon our works, right? He's not going to revoke it based upon our works. No. Salvation is strictly by faith through his grace. But to those that have some understanding, they don't use it, guess what? They're going to lose it. God's not going to add to their understanding. You know what that tells me? There's a chance in my life the Lord can start removing blessings. So that way I can't see the way that he wants me to see. Isn't that kind of sad? I think it'd be very sad. Verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. So basically he says, hey, the reason why I do this is because this simple principle. To those that have, guess what? I'm going to give them more. But those that don't, that have and don't use it, guess what? I'm going to take it away. Isn't God going to remove something from the Pharisees? Later on, it talks about he's going to remove the kingdom from them and give it to another. This is part in line of that transition from the Old to the New Testament, from moving away from using a nation to spread the word. Now he's going to be using people called churches, right? Out of all the things in the world, what did God choose in the New Testament? What did he establish and set up to spread his word? Churches, right? Gatherings of believers, covenanting together with one goal, to honor their king and to do what he says. That's what a church is, right? And does everybody want to join on that? Not everybody wants to join. That's kind of sad, right? Yeah. Shouldn't we want to be a part of that? I think so. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and see not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Do you kind of get this? They're seeing physically, but they're not get it, right? Lights are on, but nobody's home type of thing. And why is that? Why would God hide things from people? Well, that's why I went back to Matthew chapter 11, right? Because of their attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not blessed are the wise and prudent, right? Because of the wise and prudent, those that have it all figured out, what more do they need? They don't need anything, right? So guess what? Sayonara. But to the humble, God has revealed these things. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross. I love how the King James says this stuff. And their ears are dull of hearing. When I think of waxed gross, I just think their ears are just caked. And it's gross. Why? Because they don't have ears to hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and shall be converted, that I should heal them. This idea of converted, think of this as just simply turning around. You're going one way. You're not supposed to. And you just say, la, 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 la. Have you ever done that before? You just blew it. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do this. And you do it. And it wasn't God motivated. It was you motivated. We know the difference, right? See, when we get like that, you know what we need? We need to stop. We need to listen. You know what will happen? We'll turn around. You know what Jesus would then, what will happen? We'll be healed. See, sometimes the problems we experience in this life isn't because of everybody else. It isn't because the man's keeping me down. Sometimes the problem is me. It's ourselves because we don't listen. There was a couple of statements this past couple of weeks I never picked up on before, but it's about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs really doesn't bring out the covenant of God in Israel a lot. It's really more for a generic, just more generic type of stuff. And it's interesting when you think about that, and the fact that Solomon describes wisdom as a woman out in the streets, right? Speaking out. It's there. But yet who listens? Is there some similarities here? I think so. It's not because they can't. It's because they won't and they refuse. And in their defiance, they continue going down that path. Is that path going to heal them? No. When we're defiant, guess what happens? A lot more problems. If you ignore every single road sign there is your vehicle going to get better or is it going to get worse? It's going to get worse, right? Because as I slow down, there's a sharp turn ahead. You just, it's going to be bad. But if you stopped and you turn, guess what? It's going to be health to you. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes. Why? For they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them. Did you get that? See, not only are the disciples willing to hear, there's also another thing going on here. It's called time, right? And Jesus is saying there have been a lot of prophets and righteous men who have wanted to see what Paul or Peter and James and John and Bartholomew, all those groups, what they are seeing now. Isaiah wanted to see. Jeremiah wanted to see. But they couldn't. Why? Because it wasn't time yet. Jesus didn't come during Isaiah's days. Jesus came during their days. And he's letting them know how privileged they are. Privilege is not a bad word. We shouldn't be ashamed of the privileges that we have. They're gifts, aren't they? Absolutely. And so they're saying, Jesus basically, you guys are privileged because what you're seeing here, many people have desired to see in the past. Remember Simeon, that old guy that wanted to wait to see the consolation of Israel? And then when he saw the baby Jesus, what did he say? Basically, I can die in peace. There are people waiting. And here the 12 are in the middle of it. And then that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things that you see, have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So there's a two-way thing going here. One, how privileged the disciples were to be able to hear, because there's many worthy people who are unable to hear because of God's timing. And shouldn't that be disgraceful to those that were there and not hearing? They didn't realize the privilege of what God was presenting right before them. That's why God is going to judge Israel harshly here. Remember that fig tree? That fig tree is a symbol of something, right? It's a symbol of Israel, right? There's going to come a point in time where guess what? If a fruit tree is not going to bear fruit, what value is a fruit tree? Not much value in a fruit tree. They won't produce fruit, right? So what do? You cut it down. Use a smoked meat. So that we get something useful out of it. I wonder how many fruitless Christians there are, because they refuse to hear and cannot see the privilege of what God is presenting them. Why did he reveal parables? Because there are some that no matter what, they're not going to listen. Jesus was okay with that. Can you imagine that, being okay with that? Didn't mean there weren't any consequences for them not listening, right? There was going to be some serious consequences. But the reason why he shared and spoke those parables is because there were some that would hear and understand. And to them, guess what? More is going to be given to them. So the question is, who do you want to be? Do you want to be the person that is not wise and arrogant and prudent? For those who are humble, willing to hear, so God can teach you some more stuff? Or do you want to have everything all figured out and be all arrogant and cocky and have the Lord remove what understanding you have? Which camp do you want to be in? Adds a new dimension on blessed are the poor in spirit, right? For theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. You're serving the King. If you want to serve the King, guess what we need to do? We need to humble ourselves and serve Him. Do what He says. That's the difference between theology and living it, right? If we don't live out our theology, what value is our theology? It's worthless, right? So the question is your theology valuable or is it worthless? I pray that it's not. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. And I just ask, Father, that you would help us. Help us to hear, Father. Help us to learn from the mistakes that we read about in the scriptures so that we can receive the blessings that you have and not the cursings. Lord, help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you. You are the King, no one else. While others may try, Lord, you ultimately have the final say-so in all things. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves, submit our life to you, and do exactly what you said, to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness. Help us to do that, Father. Give us eyes to see. Lord, help us to see beyond the tangible things, Lord, and to begin to see you working in our lives and what you would want us to do. Help us, Father, to be useful for you and your kingdom. We thank you. Lord, we ask, Lord, you just be at the Sunday school period. I just pray, Lord, you bless the teachers and the time, and may this just be another opportunity for us all to grow in your word and our understanding and in the way that we can live our lives. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.